Picture a Hollywood actor sitting across from his friend Dave in early 2021, watching him prepare to dump his savings into Bitcoin. Most people would shrug and wish him luck. But Ben McKenzie wasn't most people. His economics degree was screaming warnings that something was deeply, fundamentally wrong. Fast forward months later, and cryptocurrency had ballooned into a $3 trillion market, with Matt Damon telling Americans that fortune favors the brave in Super Bowl commercials. Yet McKenzie couldn't shake a nagging question. What if this wasn't innovation, but the largest fraud in American history, dressed up in Silicon Valley jargon? His investigation would take him from glitzy Miami crypto conferences to impoverished Salvadoran villages, eventually landing him before Congress. What he discovered wasn't the future of money. It was the oldest con in history, repackaged with blockchain buzzwords and sold to millions of ordinary Americans desperate for financial freedom. The 2008 financial crisis left Americans watching tax dollars bail out the institutions that crashed the economy while they lost homes and jobs. This betrayal created demand for alternatives, bypassing corrupt banks. Bitcoin arrived on Halloween 2008, promising a trustless currency free from institutional control. By 2022, that idea had spawned roughly 20,000 cryptocurrencies, more than all publicly traded stocks on major U.S. exchanges. COVID-19 created perfect speculation conditions. Millions at home with stimulus checks, traditional entertainment shutdown, and trading apps gamifying investment. The Federal Reserve pumped $5 trillion into the economy. Rising prices attracted new investors whose money pushed prices higher, what economist Robert Shiller calls naturally occurring Ponzi schemes. No mastermind required, greed and FOMO do the work. Here's the fundamental difference. Stocks represent companies producing goods. Real estate provides shelter. Gold has industrial uses. Cryptocurrencies? Just code producing nothing, generating no revenue, serving no function beyond speculation. Their entire value proposition is number go up, believing someone will pay more for your digital token. Cryptocurrencies aren't actually currencies. Real money serves three functions: medium of exchange, unit of account, and store of value. Crypto fails at all three. Few stores accept Bitcoin, transactions take minutes while Visa processes thousands per second, and price swings make accounting impossible. Bitcoin processes 5 to 7 transactions per second while consuming as much electricity as Argentina. The entire ecosystem operates as unregistered securities under American law. We've recreated pre-1929 conditions. Thousands of unregulated securities sold through conflicted exchanges operating from Caribbean shell companies. The industry wrapped this in jargon, blockchain, proof of work, decentralized finance, designed to make skeptics feel stupid. Strip away the buzzwords and the emperor has no clothes. At crypto's heart lurked Tether, a stablecoin supposedly backed one-to-one by U.S. dollars, the bridge between real money and digital gambling chips. The problem? Mounting evidence suggested Tether was printing billions from thin air. Only 12 employees managed billions in reserves. Executives had concerning histories. A CFO who settled counterfeiting charges, a CEO who sold dubious health products, a general counsel from a cheating poker operation. They've been fined $41 million by the CFTC and $18.5 million by New York's Attorney General for lying about reserves. Redemptions required $100,000 minimums, classic Ponzi behavior. At the Bitcoin conference, Tether co-founder Brock Pierce offered contradictory explanations about audit failures, awkwardly comparing their situation to Enron. More disturbing, his claim to speak with more world leaders than our Secretary of State. But the most shocking admission came from Celsius CEO Alex Mashinsky at SXW. With audio rolling, he casually revealed only 10 to 15% of crypto's value was backed by real money. Translation, $1.5 trillion simply didn't exist. Crypto hijacked the language of community. GM, good morning. WAGMI, we're all gonna make it. HODL, hold on for dear life. Making newcomers feel part of something bigger. But beneath this veneer lay multi-level marketing. Like Amway or Herbalife, crypto communities require members to buy in to demonstrate belief. Money flows upward to early adopters, while 99% eventually lose. The community concept redirects scam victims' anger inward rather than at perpetrators. Here's the fundamental contradiction. Money is a social construct requiring consensus and trust. When you accept paper bills, you're participating in a shared agreement backed by governmental authority. Cryptocurrency's goal of creating trustless money is therefore nonsensical. Money is trust forged through social consensus. Crypto advocates were proposing private money, which America already tried during the free banking era from 1837 to 1864. That experiment with wildcat banks failed miserably due to rampant fraud. The revolutionary future was actually money's failed past, repackaged for a generation too young to remember why we abandoned it. In June 2021, President Nayib Bukele made Bitcoin legal tender without public consultation, promising to revolutionize remittances, 25% of GDP, reduce fees for 70% of unbanked citizens, and attract crypto tourists to Bitcoin Beach, a tax-free paradise. Reality diverged sharply. Bitcoin Beach sat nearly deserted. Businesses accepted Bitcoin, but customers preferred cash. The Chivo wallet rollout suffered rampant fraud. Many Salvadorans had their identities and Bitcoin stolen. Despite improvements, less than 2% of remittances used the system. Average Salvadorans, already financially precarious, refused to gamble alongside their president. Bukele doubled down, rebranding himself world's coolest dictator with laser eyes on Twitter, claiming to buy Bitcoin with state funds while on the toilet, losing tens of millions in public money. He announced Bitcoin City, powered by volcano energy and financed through volcano bonds, despite El Salvador importing electricity, making geothermal prohibitively expensive. Meanwhile, locals like Wilfredo Claros faced forced removal from ancestral lands for an airport serving the Phantom City, with compensation far below property values. The revolution was devouring its supposed beneficiaries. In May 2022, the crypto market imploded. Duquan's Terra USD, UST, and Luna, promised 20% yields through his Anchor protocol. When Terra depegged to 35 cents, $40 billion vanished overnight. Beyond wealthy investors, ordinary people lost everything, including a Korean family who committed suicide after financial ruin. The contagion spread rapidly. Three Arrows Capital collapsed after their $500 million Luna stake plummeted to $604. Celsius, promising 18% yields, froze withdrawals in June and filed for bankruptcy in July, with $5.5 billion in liabilities. Court documents revealed the company had been insolvent since 2019, operating as a Ponzi scheme, while CEO Alex Mashinsky promised to revolutionize finance. As $2 trillion evaporated, industry leaders turned on each other like rats in a sack. Most disturbing was their utter lack of humility, personally insulated from consequences while offering empty sympathies to 300,000 ruined retail investors. The revolution was devouring its children, and the revolutionaries were counting their money from private islands. Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF, son of Stanford law professors, positioned himself as crypto's savior through his trading firm Alameda Research and exchange FTX. He claimed to be an effective altruist making money to give away, with magazines asking if he was the next Warren Buffett. A New York hotel meeting revealed glaring red flags. Sam owned both an exchange and a trading firm on that exchange, a blatant conflict of interest. Alameda had deep Tether ties, reportedly receiving $36.7 billion. FTX's inner circle consisted entirely of Sam's friends and roommates under 30, all living in a $39 million Bahamas penthouse. In November 2022, FTX collapsed after CoinDesk revealed Alameda's balance sheet was largely FTT, a token FTX created. When Binance's CEO announced selling his FTT holdings, a bank run followed. Within days, FTX filed for bankruptcy with an $8 billion hole in customer funds secretly funneled to Alameda through a backdoor in FTX's code. Despite facing legal liability, Sam couldn't stop talking, giving daily interviews, DMing journalists, calling crypto influencers late at night. In messages with Vox, he admitted his ethics were performative. It's what reputations are made of, and this dumb game we woke Westerners play. On December 12, Sam was arrested in the Bahamas on 8 charges, including wire fraud. Prosecutor Damian Williams called it one of the biggest financial frauds in American history. Behind every collapsed exchange are real people whose lives were destroyed. David Henson's father, Hal, a charismatic salesman and evangelical preacher, became obsessed with recovering losses from the 2008 crisis. He fell for Stallion Wings, a sophisticated crypto scheme promising guaranteed returns. When he tried withdrawing funds, scammers demanded escalating tips and processing commissions. He depleted his retirement savings, took out multiple high-interest loans, and maxed out 7 credit cards. When David refused his desperate request for $5,000, recognizing it would only feed his addiction, Hal took his own life on June 26, 2020. The scammer's final response to his mention of suicidal thoughts? Just bye. Since 2021, over 46,000 people reported losses exceeding $1 billion to crypto scams, $1 in $4 lost to scams, more than any other payment method. Court filings revealed young professionals who lost down payments for homes, elderly retirees who lost entire life savings, broken marriages, and severe mental health crises. Bitcoin maximalists claim their coin is digital gold because of limited supply, but they fundamentally misunderstand economics. Supply alone doesn't determine scarcity, demand does. The gold standard comparison is particularly misguided. Most economists consider it obsolete because its inflexibility prevented governments from injecting needed liquidity during crises like the Great Depression. One evening, Mackenzie played Monopoly Junior with his 6-year-old daughter, Frances. When she landed on her property without enough money to pay, she simply reached into the bank and took what she needed. They continued playing, each taking money whenever needed, theoretically able to continue indefinitely. This simple game illustrated a fundamental truth: money works as long as participants trust the system and each other. Crypto advocates offered a selfish vision, disconnected from reality. Their attempt to eradicate trust is fundamentally nihilistic. We created capitalism, which means we can reshape it. We must corral capital's power to benefit everyone or risk worsening political and criminal impunity. Turning America into a casino perverts the American dream, fostering competition rather than cooperation. We have only ourselves and each other to rely on, and that's not a weakness to eliminate with code. It's the foundation of everything that makes us human.